Hey, everybody. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. I'm your host, Dave Johnson. Glad to be on here tonight. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Lots of football played last weekend. Playoffs getting ready to start for some of the league. And we're really excited about the chance to get to finish the season in the USWFL and get the playoffs started as well. So it's been a great year. It seems like it took forever to get here, and now that it's here, it just flew by. So it's been a pretty good year so far. Like I said, I'm excited about it. We've got to watch a lot of good football. We've traveled to South Carolina a couple times and to Huntsville, and been a pretty good year. I know last week we had the Cincinnati Civil travel to the Detroit Prowl, and Detroit Prowl won that game. I believe it was 13-0, and they got back on track and sort of give away a few games, I believe, and they got back on track, had some really good defensive standoff there to keep Cincinnati out of the end zone. And one of their players of the week was on defense, Octavia Griswold. I know for a fact she's a really good player. She's played on that AFE All-Stars, and I know she's a really good player, so that's no surprising right there. Then on offense, they had Bug Patman. I've not had the opportunity to meet her yet, but the coaches say lots of good things about her, and I think this is the second week she's been offensive player of the week in the mid-major division. So definitely, you know, on the rise there in Detroit. Excuse me, they go through the Mexican Queens this Saturday in a makeup game, and we'll see what happens there. I believe, I'm not mistaken, they are 2-3, being the Detroit Prowl. They could crawl to 3-3. There's a chance that they could still host a playoff game. I don't know the exact scenarios, but there is still a chance. If not, they will probably be traveling to the Cincinnati Sizzle to play, where they have split games. So definitely be a good one there. Michigan, they've had several problem injuries this year and things of that nature, so they definitely need to get something positive going, and we'll see what happens. Should be a good game. Then in the Iron Woman division, the Tennessee Thunder traveled to Huntsville, Alabama on Saturday night, and won a close one down there, 12-6, and you talking about a barn burner. I mean, it was a really good game from the get-go. I mean, it's tough. I'm going to tell you something. The Huntsville Tigers, one of the toughest, best, toughest, athletic, strong teams I've seen, and had the opportunity to coach against. They're really good. I mean, they don't do anything special. They just line up and run it right at you. And they can – got a quarterback, probably just a running back playing quarterback. She can really run it. She's really good, smart. And they're no doubt one of the very best teams in this league. And they're tough to beat. And to beat them at home, we were really fortunate to go on the road and get that win. And I'm really excited, the Huntsville team, because of they own the tiebreaker, and for that reason, they're already in the Iron Woman Championship. They don't even have to play a playoff game. The Thunder they play June the 3rd as their last regular season game, and then they will host a playoff game on June 17th. The winner of that game will go to the championship game to play against Huntsville. So that's going to be in Richmond, Virginia. It'll be at 11 o'clock on July the 1st. So probably going to be really hot, really nice stadium up there, Wars Hill complex, sports complex. I mean, a beautiful place. Gonna be a great, great venue. So we're really excited. Hope to make that game. We still got a lot of work to do, no doubt about that. We players of the week for the May 20th against Huntsville for us was Ken and Tito Young and Ken Gabriel. She probably had 125 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Tito Young probably was in on 15 tackles, I'd say. So great to have them on the team, and what a performance they've put on, and the whole team, man. It was a team effort by the Thunder. I'll tell you, it was 4th and 5, about our own 30. It was 12-6. We were leading, 2 minutes and something to go, and they had the ball 4th and 30. And we had to make a stop, and we did. And we made the stop, got the ball back, had to pick up the first down to run the clock out, and we did just that. So great, great game. Couldn't be more proud of these young ladies on this team. It's been tough all year because Huntsville, they're so dang good. And, you know, just at times the time before we played them, and we played them a couple quarters in the Jamboree, and, you know, I felt like we give the game away at home, if you want to know the truth. We dropped multiple touchdown passes and had lots of injuries. When they scored late in the game the last time we played them, it was actually going to be 0-0 at half, or we should have been going in at half up, 6-8. Instead, we threw a pick 6 that we couldn't get the girl out of bounds or tackled, and they go on to take a 6-0 lead when we played them up here not too long ago. And you know, then on defense, we had several players, some that didn't even show up for injuries, and then we were subbing like 2 deep in certain positions, and she's smart enough to see it. She ran right at us, and we couldn't make the tackle, and they scored. And then with about a minute something to go, they scored again to make it 18-0. So it was a really close game when they beat us up here. They're a really good team. Would not take anything away from them whatsoever. I just felt like that we give that game away, and because they're really good, and we missed multiple opportunities to take advantage of field position and drop touchdown passes that we were definitely way behind the defensive backs, and the ball hit us right in the hand. So I ain't going to say they were lucky. I'm just going to say that we I felt like we should have won the game. So, hey, it is what it is. They won. They earned it. They did what they needed to do to win the game. But we went down there, you know, we went with the mission, you know, and I just felt like we weren't going to be denied. And you know what? It's like you play them, it's like playing like being in a heavyweight fight for 15 rounds. You know what you're up against. You know, when the game starts until it ends, you're going to be in a hard-fought, long, physical game. And that's exactly what it was. And it was start to finish. I mean, it was one of the better games that, you know, we've been in. Of course, we still, you know, missed several opportunities. But, hey, we come out to win, and that's what matters. And they're really good. Like I said, they own the tiebreaker because they beat us 6-0 in the Jamboree. So it doesn't matter if we win on June the 3rd and have the same record. They got the tiebreaker, and that's the way it is. So they're already in, and we got to play our way in. And you know, if we happen to win, we will see them again in the championship game. And I'm really excited for that weekend. You know, last weekend our last Thursday night, we did that draft for the All-Stars, and that was one of the best shows we've ever had on here. I really, really enjoyed that. I'm glad we went with that concept, because just this week, you wouldn't believe that, you know, like I said, we formed two team groups, and the players from, we got players on each team, players from every team that are on each team, the South and the North, in which they call it Evade Hers against the Avenge Hers. So that's what they've sort of changed it to, and we got players from each team on both sides of that. And, you know, I see a lot of friendly trash talking along the way with teammates. It's great, you know, that's what makes sports, is, you know, to be able to have these friendly rivals, and, you know, and they become really serious, but, you know, it's okay. If you remember back in the day, you had Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and those guys, Karl Malone, John Stockton, all those guys, Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon. Those guys, man, they battled out all the time. It was a rival everywhere they went, you know. And shoot, those guys were the best of friends for the most part. Played golf together all the time and everything. But, you know, and then when you start talking about winning, they all wanted to win. And, you know, they all wanted to win, beat Michael Jordan. And they did at times, but he got them most of the time. And that's just the way it is with rivalries. And, you know, we did this to break it up so that we could have the same amount of players, same equal players, same amount of linemen, quarterbacks, sets on down the line. So each team would have the same, you know, over the years, sort of been a little lopsided one way or another. And this year's probably the most fair and the All-Star game as it's ever been. So we're really excited. I'll tell you, me and Coach Mike Wallace, we sort of got back into coaching the South side. It was a last minute deal, but we're going to enjoy the opportunity. I can assure you that. So we were just going to set up there and maybe broadcast some and enjoy it, but we got sort of through in it at the last minute, and we're going to take advantage of it. I know both teams drafted a bunch of really, really good players. You know, I look at the South roster, and I'm like, I'd like to go play every game with this roster, not just the amount of players that we have, but the quality of players we have. It's unreal, you know, and it's the bad part is we're spread out. You know, all these teams have all these good players, and we're just spread out here and there. We're definitely looking forward to that opportunity. That was so much fun to do that draft. I had multiple people tell me that they enjoyed that more than anything. You know, it's just sort of a good concept, but, you know, along the lines that the NFL and them kind of do, but nowhere near as hyped up. And we're just laid back here. We do things, you know, a lot different, but it was a lot of fun. And these girls, you know, I know some of them was talking about sitting there just glued to the phone to see when they was going to be taken. And that's on from not every team, but some of the girls from different teams I talked about and talked to. And they enjoyed it, had a lot of fun. And I'm with them. You know, it certainly was a whole lot of fun, and I'm telling you, it's one of the best things that we've did in this league. We got to figure out how to do more of that stuff to get more teams and more players involved and more players the opportunity to play on good quality teams, not just playing on teams that the coaches maybe are not that good, but the owners maybe don't care as much. You know, playing sort of a different system. Not that we're going to do anything, you know, we're just going to make it simple. We don't have a whole lot of time to get going, but make it simple and, you know, look over at your teammate and it's an unfamiliar face. And, you know, by the time the game ends, you formed a pretty good bond with them, and you know, you're already taking changing numbers and stuff to stay in touch. That's what football and rivalries and becoming good friends and all that's about. You know, I know through the roping world, I've had huge rivalries for years where some of my best friends, you know, and that's the way it is. You know, that's what I call friendly rivalries, and everybody wants to win. I don't know one person that intentionally wants to lose. But, you know, to win, you got to put in a lot of work. That means you better be putting in more work than the other person, you know, and that's just it, is it's the amount of work and how much you want to win. You know, you can't think about football when it's football practice day or game day. You know, if you're going to be a winner and you want to win and you want to be the best player out there, you better be thinking of football. It should rank right up there amongst your family and your job, you know, and ride along in there and have that support and realize what it takes to be a great player. You know, if you watch that, especially on Michael Jordan, you know, look at what that guy put himself through. I mean, sure, it was worth it to him, and I wouldn't dare say that, but see, it would have been just as easy for him to put in half the work, still would have made the same amount of money, but he wouldn't have won as many games, and he wouldn't have won as many championships. So even though all the money was there, even though everything was already there and it was going to be guaranteed, he wanted to be the best, and he is the best. And, you know, he's still making billions of dollars because he worked that hard. And that's what I can't get through to a lot of these young girls on the team and things of that nature. You know, a lot of us are limited on our talent. That means you got to work that much harder. You know, and when you talk about that, I hear him talking about he didn't make his ninth grade high school team, and it was the greatest thing happened to him. It made him realize, hey, hard work is where it's at. You know, and that's so hard to get into these young athletes' head is you know, everything's been given to them. That's just it. Nothing's been earned. Everything's been given to them, and there's very few, very, very few athletes that are born with what I call a silver spoon in their mouth or given everything that are great themselves. And, you know, I can think of Peyton Manning. I mean, his dad, Peyton, made more probably the first year he played football than his dad did his whole career. But nevertheless, his dad probably made, you know, a decent living and was around football for years. I can remember him talking about when Peyton came to Tennessee that him and another freshman were tied for second, third on the depth chart. And Peyton was doing everything he could to make sure he was going to be the starter, you know. And it was hard work. And you hear the coach for Duke now talking about, he's a head coach, you hear him talking about, hey, man, he forced us to stay after. He forced us to watch film. We'd done watched it 50 times, and he kept wanting us to watch it, kept wanting. I mean, you look, the guy was one of the greatest, you know, and that's a rarity. That is a rarity. And I tell these young players on the team all the time, is, you know, you may not be great. You may not be Peyton Manning, but be the best you can be. You know, that's the thing. There's so much growth within a player itself. They may not be the greatest lineman. They may not be the greatest running back. May not be the greatest wide receiver. But maybe they can be the best they can be at those multiple positions if they put in the hard work and they bear down and realize that nothing is given. It's all earned. That's where we're missing the point here and really – all sports. You know, I talked to a friend of mine today, and we was talking about a baseball coach, and I don't know how many years the guy was there, but we'll sort of figure this up. They play 35 games a year, and uh, he was He's there, I believe he said 13 years. I think that's what he told me. In 13 years, the guy's winning percentage was 103 wins and 335 losses. Now, I don't know what kind of percentage that is, but it's somewhere along 25 to 30%. And they're a 5A school here in Tennessee, and six of those wins every year come against 1 and 2A teams. The guy gets fired, and he can't imagine why he's getting fired. Now, you know, I hear multiple people tell me, you know, it's not about winning. Well, I don't know what it's about. If you're a coach, and you winning is not an emphasis. If you don't emphasize winning, then I don't know what you do emphasize. You know, you can't win in life by not having an emphasis and goals on winning. And you know, what does that? I for sure wouldn't want him coaching my kid if I had one. I know that if and this guy's just like mad. I mean, he's just like throwing the biggest fit in the world because they're not they fired him, you know. And I'm like, wow. I mean, you're not even close to 500. I know. I was telling my friend, excuse me again, my friend that you know. Since we started the Thunder team, we've won 80 to 81% of the games, and I'm mad about that. You know, won three championships along the way, hopefully getting ready to play for another one. And we've won 80.5% of our games or somewhere along that line, and I'm mad about that. You know, that's the difference in me. I want to win. I put an emphasis on winning. I emphasize it, you know. What do we have to do to win, you know? And that's what I try to tell these young girls that we have on this team is you win at practices and you win at working hard and all that, and then you come to games and it's just putting everything into motion. And if you can't think about this when you're not practicing or every single day you get up, you know, then you're missing the point for me. So I don't know. I just know hard work is and success is earned and not given. You know, you don't become the best 3-point shooter like Steph Curry by not working at it. I'll promise you. He might have had natural talent, but to be the best, you got to work at it. And I guarantee you, he'll work at it. My friend I'm talking about showed me a video the other day when I was at his house of Christian McCafferty working out, getting faster and doing things. Now, you know, again, I know those guys make millions of dollars, and I'm not saying they're worth it because I'm sort of backwards on all this NFL stuff, paying all this money, and these guys are not really great guys and all that stuff. But here's what I'm going to say. The guy is working his hind end off. And now he does have somebody pushing him every day. But I'll guarantee you, they don't have to push him to get up, to get going, to work out. It's every day of him wanting to be the best running back and maybe him wanting to be the best, the highest paid running back. All that stuff is driving him to be great. And he knows that you can't halfway do something and be great. That's the thing is being great takes a special, special person. It really does, you know, and it takes multiple days of hard work. I know they make, like I said, lots of money, but along with lots of that money comes, you miss out on a lot of things because I don't feel too good today, I'll pass. They don't do that. You know, they suffer through it, you know. Oh, well, my buddy comes in, I won't work out today. It's not like that. And that's where we're at with women's football, I believe. And I understand because we don't get to see these players nowhere near enough. I mean, we're really, really limited. I mean, even at the top level, of play, there's probably, I don't know, I'd have to sit down and figure it up. There's probably close to 90 teams maybe in women's football. And I would say, I'm probably guessing, I'm going to probably say four practice a lot and really get all their players there at practice and really go through strenuous workouts. I mean, put in off-season workouts. I don't even know if there's four. But I know the two best teams in women's football are the Texas Elite Spartans and the Boston Renegades. In my mind, no ifs, ands, or buts. I'd love to see those teams play. I'll tell you right now, I don't care where the game will be, I will go to it if those two teams play. If you watch them play, it's just unbelievable. I mean, you can obviously tell not only do they have good athletes, not only do they have great athletes, great players, whatever, but you can tell they put in work because only practicing once a week, three times a month or whatever most people get to practice, these girls are on par. You know, I mean, they're on it. And you can tell a big difference. And it makes a difference. When you watch them play offense, it's unbelievable. It looks like a good college team out there playing offense. I mean, Tennessee Volunteers had a great offense this year, and they'd spread you out and just throw it all over the field, and that's what Texas Elite Spartans look like. You know, you think about the Boston Renegades. Listen to this. They embarrassed the DC Divas last week to 84 points. On the DC Divas. Now, I know when we first got into women's football, the DC Divas were what you heard about. They were good. I'll never forget going to an NFL joint practice up in West Virginia, and the DC Divas got a SUV there, and they had like three or four, I don't remember, championships. It was all painted up in the Divas colors and all that, and somebody from their organization was there, and it's all painted up like their colors and got their three or four titles, whatever it was, on it. And, you know, that was long ago, and they were the team. And now they're getting beat 84 to, I don't know, 15, 25, 35, somewhere along that line. You got 84 points put up on them. Now, folks, The Thunder team was put up 84 points one time. And I'm going to tell you something. It's unbelievable to score 84 points in a game. It really is. I mean, if you just go out there, of course, I know they play 15-minute quarters. We did it in 12-minute quarters. And that's what I'm saying. You just go out there and practice, and you just run your plays. And by the drop passes, by the penalties, if you call all that in practice, and you set up quarters, it takes a lot to score 84 points in a game. So the standards have really risen on both ends of the spectrum here. You got Texas out there. They're just awesome. I mean, they're really, really they're good. It's unbelievable how good they are. And you know, and I have not seen Boston play, but I did see them play last year, and they're really good. But when you think about how good those two teams are, do you think about, they don't practice that much. I'll bet you they practice a lot. And I'll bet you they get those girls there a lot. I mean, I understand, trust me, I understand the fact that all of these ladies have different lives. I get it. There ain't no doubt I get it. I mean, we've got them from high school to, you know, working schools, nurses. I mean, we just got them all over the place. And, you know, it's hard to get all those people off all the time at the same time because they have to work a job because they can't get – they're not getting compensated to play. Well, I understand. I would love to turn that around for them. But the problem is, you got so many people that even when they could be there, don't show up, you know. And those are the kind of people on your team that drags you down. It's not, well, she missed because she's got to work. Hey, I get it. They got to have a job to do this. This is a costly sport for them. I mean, just the travel alone, you know, and if you play far enough away, you have to get motels and stuff and then to eat. I get it. But what about the people that didn't have to work, you know? You know, maybe, oh, well, I just ain't feeling good today. Well, you know, that's what's really holding us back and unfortunate is we don't have enough serious people that are ready to bear down and do whatever it takes to turn this around. Everybody wants it. I hear it all the time. You know, we should be getting paid. Well, are you acting like somebody should get paid? Talking about it don't get it done. So my point is those teams are getting it done. I would say that those teams bring in a lot of money some way, somehow, to reward their players for doing great things. And I don't know that. I'm just saying because they've got players probably all over the country as well. Maybe they get them out there and find them a job that fits how they need them. But I don't know. I really don't. I'd like to know, but I don't know. And that's the thing, you know, when we recruit players, you know, from all over the place, we try to get them to, you know, move to this area and play and work. You can't do, I would, but, you know, it's I would, but, or I can't do that. I mean, jobs are everywhere now. I mean, about all, most of the jobs are good paying jobs, and the cost of living here where we live is the cheapest in the country. So that's what I'm saying. You know, my thing is don't make excuses, make plays, and that's where we're at. And I think that's why we see two really, really good teams versus everybody else. And I mean, I get it. We're way at the bottom of the totem pole. I understand. I'm not trying to blow smoke up nobody's hind end, but you know, we're the very, you know, we're a small market, even probably smaller and small, but I got big aspirations, you know, and I'd like to be able to turn that around by having the kind of players and practices and workouts and stuff they have. You know, that would be great. But, you know, till a lot of players decide they want to do it, we're still going to be right here, and we're still going to practice when we can and hope we get X amount of players there when we can and you know, hope you can and pull it out in the end. And that's no different than probably, if there's 90 teams, that's no different than probably 70 of them, you know. I mean, you probably got, I'd say, you got 90 total teams in the U.S. here. You got two excellent teams, and then you probably got 10 pretty good teams, and then you got, probably 15 or 20 decent, really good, decent teams. And then I'd say the rest are just fall down in that category. The rest are just sort of all in there about the same. And I know it's not popular, and I ain't trying to win no popularity contest. Everybody knows that, but it's the truth. Now, it could be different. It really could be if we would bear down and you know, do it. Now, like, there's a couple of players, you know, that – seems like most teams have that one kind of player on that team. But most teams will have one really great player. And now the really good teams have a lot of great players. But one team will seem to have one player better than everybody else. I mean, I know when the Sting team, I can't remember the first name, but, you know, they had a player when they won a championship. They had one girl that was better than everybody else, and she did the most damage. You know, I mean, she was a great player. I think she's retired, and you look what they're doing now. They're over. You know, they lost her and lost a lot of coaches and players along the way. They're over, but she was that one player that she could keep them in games just herself. Now, I know she said one player can't win a game, they may not win, but they can keep you in it. I mean, they was making, she was making tackles all over the place. There was a girl that used to play for Huntsville, was the same way. Shoot, star, man. I went and watched them play years ago, and I mean, I'd never even heard of this girl, and we was just the first year in women's football, and we go watch them play, and I'm like, wow. I mean, she was everywhere. She was making us just about every other play. And then, you know, on offense, they wasn't nobody could block her at all. Or she blocked everybody on offense. Nobody could block her on defense. It was just amazing. So there seems to be one good player on every team that takes it serious, that just balls out. And if you could get the rest of everybody to do that same thing, man, it would be unbelievable. And like I said, not everybody can be that kind of player. But you can be a great player. And you can be the best you can be. You know, that's just the way it is. There's only one Michael Jordan. And, you know, even his kids wasn't nothing, you know, compared to him. You know, Barry Sanders, look at his kids. I mean, it just goes on and on the list. Those guys are special. And sometimes, you know, it just ain't there. But you can still be a really good player if you bear down. And the best thing is, the biggest thing is, be the best you can be. If you know what, if catching 60% of the passes that come to you is absolutely teetotally the best you can be or do, then be that person, not catching 20%, you know. So that's where we're at in women's football and things. But speaking of, and the reason I got on this rant about one really good player is the Cincinnati Cougars. I mentioned her several weeks ago. Her name is Christina Mason, and they just played the team right across the hill here, the East Tennessee Valkyries, and they just got smoked again by the Cincinnati Cougars. And last week alone against the Valks, she had 18 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, and 170-yard pick 6. All right. Now, for the year, she has had 38 total tackles in 3 games, and I don't know, 5 or 6 tackles for a loss. You know, that's more than most girls have in a career. You know, I mean, honestly, that would be a great year right there for a lot of girls. I mean, what's the rest of the team doing? I mean, if she could just get any help around her, I mean, the one loss they had, they got blew out against the Savages, and the Savages evidently are really, really good. You know, maybe they just took her plum out of the game, said, hey, we're gonna double or triple team her. And I don't know, I didn't see the film run, but we're going to double or triple team her, and we're going to make everybody else beat us, you know. So it's crazy. I'm just telling you, it's unbelievable. So I believe that number is probably wrong, the 38 total tackles, because she had 8 in this game. The first game I talked about, I think she had 20-some, if I'm not mistaken. So that's probably not an accurate figure. I might have wrote that down wrong now that I think about it. But nevertheless, it's a, you know, this girl's really giving everything she's got. And I've never even seen her, never even seen her play. But you start putting up stats like that, that means you're doing something. And she plays tight end, I believe. So she's really playing. I think she might be a linebacker, I guess. And my point is that one player, you know, maybe everybody, like I say, can't be as good as her, but they could sure rise their play and help her out, you know, and help their team out. But, you know, do they make as many practices as she makes? Do they work out as hard as she does? You know, that's the thing. You got, you know, I get players all the time ask me, you know, am I going to get to play? You know, and I'm like, do you think you deserve to play? I mean, you tell me, what would make you think that you deserve to play? You know, are you putting in the extra work? Do you know all the plays? If we give you the ball, can you run the right direction, right places we give it to you? If we throw the ball, we put you out there, are you going to know exactly what to do? You know, and the answer for a lot of people is no. And, you know, everybody wants to play. I think that most people, well, the most people I know, I don't think on the better teams they think this, but the most people I know think it, they would rather play, and whether you lose or win, as long as they play. Now, when I played, if I wasn't good enough to play and our team could win, I wanted to win. I want to win. It don't matter if I play or not. That means I just got to get better. But that don't seem to be the case a lot. You know, everybody wants to be the star, but nobody wants to act like a star. You know, Michael Jordan was a star because, by God, he wanted to be one. He acted like one. He did the work to be one. Everybody wants that, but they're not willing to do what it takes. And, you know, when they're playing, you know, and, oh, you think I'm going to play, you know, well, do you deserve to play? So if this is hitting home with a lot of you, it should. You know, you should be thinking about this. You know, you should be wondering, what's he talking about? What can I do to get better? And then we would see a lot of different, I think we'd see better football here in women's football. So, well, and speaking of the Texas League, their playoffs start June the 8th and June the 10th. They do a pretty cool thing. I guess because they have several players on these teams, they can do this. But they got the West Division, which Texas, I didn't know they'd moved to the West, but they're in the West this year. They're the very best team in women's football, I do believe. They are playing Denver, and Utah is playing San Diego. Now, I'll just tell you right there, that's a bad draw because they barely beat San Diego 2 times. Last time they played, it was by one. But the way they do the playoffs, the game is in Salt Lake City. The game's in Salt Lake City, and they play June the 8th, and then the two winners play June the 10th. So that's a pretty quick turnaround for that kind of physical game. And then on the east side, they got the number one seed is the Mississippi team, and they play Houston, and in Atlanta, they play Washington. Now that game's going to be at Decatur, Georgia, and they as well will play the first game on June the 8th and then on June the 10th. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Washington got beat by Atlanta and Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken. I know Mississippi beat Atlanta. I do know that. So that's how that Mississippi's number one seed, Atlanta 2, Washington 3, Houston 4. So those are going to be really, really good games. We don't have to play that weekend, so it'll be some good watching. You know, no doubt. Hey, I love good football. It don't matter who it is. I love it. So that'll be Thursday night. They'll play June 8th, and then play on Saturday, June the 10th. And after that, the two winners will go to play in the Nine Cup in Texas. You know, they always have a big thing out there. They got it going on. No ifs, ands, or buts. They got it figured out. They do lots of great things out there, and they're doing a really good job promoting that league and getting a lot of sponsors. The film that they got, I mean, it's really as good as watching any kind of college games. Now, I know they don't have all the certain angles and things of that nature, but they do have a lot of really good football, and it's good to watch, folks. I enjoy it really, really well, and I'm gonna tune in, like you say, on Thursday, and on Saturday. We're off that weekend, so I'll get an opportunity to check it all out. Maybe next weekend I'll try to get me some guests and get on here and talk about before the games. There'll be several games next week, and in the USWFL, maybe I can get a few of the team owners to come on and talk a little bit. Maybe a player or two wants to come on and talk, see if we can get a little friendly rival trash talking going on. And it's down to the nitty gritty. I mean, it's go time. It's time to figure out who's got what, you know. And so looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm really excited about the opportunity for all these young ladies on this team, and not just this team, but all around the country, man. Because you're getting an opportunity to play a sport you love. I just wish everybody would take it more serious. You know, that's my whole thing. And some do. I mean, some I know live for it, relish it, do everything. Their whole life is revolved around this, and I appreciate that. If you did, you would be great. There's no doubt about it. And then you just got some that, you know, just want to get by and are glad to be on the team and all that. So take advantage of it. Live for it. Make it your life. You'll never, you know, there's things in life you only get to do certain times, and there's only certain opportunities that people are going out of their way and doing everything to help you. So, you know, this is one of those things that there's a lot of people out there that give up a lot to have a women's football team. And I'll just tell you, I talk to them on a regular basis, and they're like, "Coach, you can't believe, you know, how much it costs." And I do, because I used to own this team. I understand, you know. But they're like, "You know what? Wouldn't want to do anything else with my money. It's, you know, it's what I love. My passion is right here. I don't have a lot of things in life I like to do. A lot of them are like, you know, I don't have kids. And, man, this is exactly what I like to do." You know, then some of these people have all kinds of kids, you know, and it's just it's unbelievable. So don't take it for granted. That's my point. You know, step up, you know, be better, want to be better. Just, you know, wake up tomorrow and say, "Hey, today's a new day for me to get better. I'm going to get on a workout plan. My team needs me, and they do need you. Every team needs everybody to work like that." So that being said, I'm going to leave you till next Thursday. Like I said, I'll try to get some people on here to talk and talk about football. I appreciate everybody joining me tonight, and till next week, I'll see you then.